three. It's introduced by Representative Martin, it's direct the legislature to cause termination of the contract between the legislature for agency and Rural Common Association with television coverage of the session of the 13th legislature. Clause X of the contract that's noted in the resolution allows the agency to terminate and compensate for our common services provided to the agency. I have a list of people to testify. The first one is the prime sponsor would be
Jerry Martin. I don't know if
Representative Hugh Malone is
in. Jeff Day.
For the speaker, Mert Charney and Billy Barrier.
At this time, I'll introduce Representative Martin.
Say your name for the record, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Representative Terry Martin. Representing District 13 of Anchorage. The reason why I propose this bill, sir, is to somehow ever maintain the constitutional mandate that only the full legislative body has the rights of appropriation. I'd like to direct the committee's attention to a handout that the former finance chairman of the legislative division, Mr. Jay Hogan, gave us in Article 9, Section 13, to reemphasize that no money shall be withdrawn from this treasury except
in accordance with appropriations made by law. No obligation for the payment of money shall be incurred
except as authorized by law. Unobliged appropriations outstanding at the end of the period, time specified by law, shall be void.
I think that makes it very clear, sir, that only the full legislative body has the rights of appropriation.
We do not have the right to even delegate another body to do this, or a smaller unit of the legislative body to do this. In the past, it has been tried that the legislators delegate their authority or through constitution allow the Budget and Audit Committee or the Legislative Council Committee to have rights during the interim of transferring appropriations or establishing special committees or even interim committees. In 1980 was House Bill 80 that specifically asked that the Legislative Council have these powers, extended powers, that we delegate it to them. That bill failed. In 1980 also, Proposition Number 3 came about. And in this case, it was a constitutional amendment
that the voters had the
rights to delegate the powers or extend
the powers of the Budget
and Audit Committee for working with the governor in appropriations and the transfer in appropriation and even establishing special committees. The voters turned that down. So it seems to me, sir, in the last 3 years, the legislative body and the public have had an opportunity to address this clause in the Constitution, and the people and the legislators themselves refuse to do so. And I maintain that only the full body has the right of appropriations. This particular contract, again, tries to supersede the powers of the majority. In this case, it seems that there were not monies available. The legislators made it very clear last year that we would not appropriate monies for TV coverage. We did want this to be the prerogative of the new legislative body. In testimony at the Legislative Council hearing, it was mentioned that there were some lame duck legislators that voted. There were people that were out of state. But my major contention is that we are, again, we fail to act on this contract, our powers to be superseded by a subgroup of the full legislative body. The bill itself allows us in clause number 10, because these were issues were brought up, and so the bill itself was drawn up that at any given time this contract may be terminated. And that's the reason why I did make it a simple bill, just to the action itself that we on line 13, whereas clause 10 of the contract provides so and so. And that's what I'm asking for. We could have put it louder, where and so on, that would back up, but I thought that would kind of confuse the bill itself, and that we should stick to the Constitution provision that only the full legislative body of appropriations. I think if we don't make a statement in the early part of the session, we will protect our powers.
We will find ourselves in
trouble, not only with other
legislative committees,
but also with the executive branch, and perhaps even with the judiciary branch. Specifically about the contract itself, it seems to me, sir, that any prudent group or person that had money to spend would certainly try to find out if there's a market for the product. In this particular case, I'm not worried about the normal TV coverage that we've had in the past to wrap up programs that were informative to the public, and certainly 30 minutes is probably the average time an individual would allot in their daily schedule to keep informed as to what the legislative body is doing. When we go to one step further of gavel-to-gavel coverage, then we find another problem. Is there truly a market? How many people out there can receive gavel-to-gavel? Will it take a half hour any particular day, an hour, 2 hours, sometimes 5 hours?
Well, my preliminary survey, sir, I find
out that the major outlet would be the Royal Alaska TV network program, and they have turned it down. They will not allow enough time for gavel-to-gavel. They've also done surveys, which is proper, as to what type of shows the people would like in their areas, and it's mostly Royal Alaska. I believe it's about 159 villages right now. In 1980, or perhaps
the beginning of 1981,
we have the experts that can correct me on this date, it seemed like the legislative coverage had the lowest priority. About 2 or 3% of the people really cared about the legislative goings-ons. So that showed the popularity was down. Now, since that group of about 150,000 people turned gavel to gavel down, we have the next population, over 210,000. It may be as much as 240,000 people within our state do not have cable TV, do not have the means by which to receive gavel-to-gavel, even if they wanted to.
Who's receiving it now?
Best of my knowledge, only in Juneau is the gavel-to-gavel being received. And what percentage of the population is able to see it
at
10 in the morning? You have
a large segment of the
population working. We do have an unemployment factor here. I guess it's about 8 or 9%. But if they're watching TV at that hour of the morning, I don't know. And you do have parents who are staying home with their children and doing their normal housework. So I think it's a very small percentage of the people able to see this show at a
very
substantial cost. That's my testimony at this moment, sir.
Thank you. Is there any questions of Representative Martin? Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Martin, in your House Concurrent Resolution 3 here, am I right in saying that the thrust of your resolution is mainly directed at how the contract came to be, not necessarily a dispute with the firm that received the contract?
No, sir, I didn't want to get on involved in the bidding process or things like that. I just wanted to take advantage of the clause that was put into the contract to address the legislative problem. And during the hearing that I attended on December the 22nd, it was made very clear, and it was also brought the attorney for the contractor made very clear that the legislators at any time could terminate this contract. And so from that hearing, and the judge made it very clear, he asked the defense attorney, he said, do you mean that, you know, clause number 10 makes that clear, that the legislators can do it? Is that your interpretation?
And the gentleman,
I believe he's here, said yes.
So that's what I jumped upon, so to speak. Besides, to answer the problem
I have with any
legislative body
superseding the full
responsibility of the
constitutional responsibility of full legislative authority.
Representative Pissinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Martin, what are the alternatives to more thorough coverage throughout our state? You're talking about this transmission being basically available for our community here. Can you offer alternatives to where we can better reach the entire state with thorough coverage?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to Representative Pattinger. There are alternatives, and these alternatives should certainly be looked into before you let out a contract. There's Learn Alaska program that's under the University of Alaska. Maybe something should have been done pre-contract to see if they want to participate in this, especially for government classes at each of our major campuses and maybe the community colleges. That would have been one outlet, a great learning process for the students. The other ones they did after the contract, of course, was signed, then tried to work with the VAT network and find out if they were allowed the time. Well, you know, that's kind of looking into your market after you've already made the contract. And certainly it was well known that the great majority of the people in Alaska do not have cable TV. You know, if they were willing to pay the anywhere from $39 a month to $61 a month for cable TV and then have this as one of the options, you know, that's the freedom of choice. The fact is that they do not have the option today. So there's a very low market right now of people who may want to see gavel-to-gavel coverage.
Thank you.
Representative Flood?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Martin, if we didn't have the current coverage we now have, that we're now enjoying through government, and if it were handled strictly by private enterprise or commercial broadcasters, how many people in the state would not enjoy the coverage of the legislature? Do you have percentages or numbers of any kind?
Representative Adams, I made it to the chair. It's hard to say who's watching and who's not watching. About the only survey that was ever taken was the one I referred to earlier in Moyo, Alaska, and the lowest priority of all the programs they had was the legislative coverage. And now here we are going even more extensive in hours available to them, and they're still turning it down. It would just seem prudent if the Legislative Council would have done some survey themselves as to who wants to watch it. I know that one thing that disturbed me during the hearing is that they condemned the speaker, and they condemned some other legislators about being afraid to be on TV and so forth, and I don't think that should have entered the case at all. It may be that we have some legislators with such egos that they think the people want to watch them 24 hours a day. Now, you mentioned free enterprise. When it comes to reporting, whether it be radio, TV, newspaper, I very much believe in free enterprise because they will counter each other on any particular issue or any particular point. That's the beauty of competition. One person may talk about this aspect of a particular issue, and another station may talk about the other aspect. So they, in turn, are being democratic in action, as we should be. Each of us have a different point of view on a particular issue, and we express them. If only one network is provided the opportunity of coverage, then you may have, as complained about before, bias interpretation of a particular issue. That's how we got into the gavel-to-gavel. If we had that extensive coverage, then people would interpret themselves the particular issue.
Representative Ward.
Representative Martin, if you can give me a brief overlay now of what is currently, I understand that we have gavel to gavel at present time. I've been watching TV as much as possible within the constraints of our responsibilities just to see the gavel to gavel. I have seen excerpts from it, but as my understanding is now, there is a station that currently plays everything that is being recorded at present time from gavel to gavel, or is it being, in fact, it appears to me that it's just being edited. Is that, am I viewing it wrong, or do I have the wrong channel turned in?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, through the chair, Mr. Ward, I have not seen the show myself because the time I understand it's on is when we're in session. I've only heard from one citizen, and this happened to be one of the legislative ladies that was sick on a particular day and saw it. And she thought it was rather funny at the time because the cameras are on even when we take recess and talking to each other and pointing it to these guys talking or these people talking to. I guess that's educational because people realize everything isn't formulated every second something being done. You do have your little huddles and you do have your chances to talk over when something unexpected happened. So that was only one person's interpretation. I do believe there's a low market for it right now. Of what value, it's hard to say.
Mr. Chairman, continue. Then since you, I will defer that to somebody later on because I have made an attempt to try to see this, and all I've seen is edited versions, I believe. And we'll find out. I guess we're too busy to actually watch that much TV.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Martin. The next one to testify today is Representative Hugh Malone. He's the past chairman of the Legislature Council. Representative Malone, would you come forward, please? Would you state your name for the record and continue with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Hugh Malone, representative from House District 5, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear before the Finance Committee today. Keep my comments brief. First, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm testifying in opposition to the resolution. The continuation of legislative television coverage, I think, is a way for people across the state who are interested to have another opportunity to keep track of what's happening in the legislature, see what their legislators are up to, get some idea of what the issues are day-to-day in the legislature, and watch the process unfolding. As far as the television coverage itself and its the contract for it entered into on behalf of the legislature by the council, this action took place, of course, after the election this year, and I think that's where the accusations of lame duck legislature or council come from. I think that the action by the council really was in response to a decision by the people of Alaska on the capital move question in November, and the desire to try to bring the state closer together. I don't think that the televised coverage of the legislature is popular as a show such as Hill Street Blues, something like that, and I agree that the percentage of people that are watching at any one time is not as likely to be that sort of a rating. But I do think that the legislature in the state of Alaska should do something to try to bring the government to the people of the state. And I think there was an attempt by the council to do that. The council has, from time to time, both during the last legislature and previous legislatures, of course, acted to take care of matters that were not resolved by the legislature. Last council, for example, provided opportunity for members of the legislature to orientation prior to the session, which is not really a budgeted item by the last legislature, but something that thought was important. I think this particular contract falls in the same category. Legislature, of course, as pointed out by Representative Martin, does have the certainly have the authority to end the contract if they think it's in the public interest. I would urge the members of the Finance Committee in the House and the legislature not to do that. And further, I think that in the deliberations of the legislature and the Finance Committee and perhaps even the new legislative council after it's organized, should consider how communications to people of state in the form of television coverage of the legislature might continue. There have been has been a lot of discussion as to whether the television coverage could be sufficiently handled by private news agencies. And I think that there might be some combination of things that might make that possible. If the if the legislature, the state government, for example, recognizing they're dealing with television, were continue their satellite time on the demonstration projects, and perhaps as well establish something equivalent to an electronic newsroom where some of the costs at least were borne by the state, it might make it possible in the future to have a very nearly full-time coverage of the legislature by private news agencies. On the gavel-to-gavel question, that is an option under the, or it's part of the package under the current current contract. And of course, the until the channels available are available throughout the state for what can almost come down to maybe 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day of coverage, getting the actual gavel-to-gavel coverage out to people is not. Something's going to proceed pretty slowly. In addition to that, of course, the lateness of the decision meant that there's limited satellite time available for that. So even places that have cable couldn't take full advantage of that option or that part of the package right now. I do think something that should be continued, if at all possible in the future, is the first option the council, legislative council, looked at, and because basically the largest municipality in the state is not served by cable at this time, the council decided not proceed with that as a sole option. But I would urge the committee to continue the television coverage, take that position, and also to look pretty seriously what they want to do in the second session of this legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of Representative Malone? Representative Pessinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Malone, I understand that the satellite channel for instructional TV, as well as the satellite channel for the television format in the rural Alaska, simply they do have the option to choose to show as much of this as they wish, and they choose not to show the gavel to gavel. They choose to show very little. Would it make more sense then to have Channel 2 come in, which would be not our financial responsibility, and let them get the coverage out to Anchorage where it is not now, to Fairbanks where it is not now, to Kenai where it is not now, and to use their state service, which Channel 2 has, and perhaps at the same time, through a new contract with Rourke Harmon, use it in a little more business-like manner, because we're having a great deal of coverage with very little transmission. And what we want to accomplish is, what I would like to accomplish is transmission throughout the state. Do you understand my, could you answer my question?
Well, as best I can answer the question, Representative Pessinger, is I think that the answer would depend on what sort of programming, I guess you mentioned a specific company, what sort of programming they would be talking about and the amount of time and coverage, I guess, that if that information were clearly laid on the table, I'd probably be better able to answer the question. I don't think, as I said before, that the popularity of government coverage is going to be the same as major entertainment programming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ward?
Representative Malone, as your duties as legislative council chairman, I assume that I don't have the other bidding proposals, just the one that was successful. But if you was to find that there was a possibility, at least in the light of my knowledge, which may come to fact later on, that there is a part of this proposal that in fact was misleading to you, Chairman, and to the other members of the council, would you enter into a reconsideration effort for this contract?
and I can be more specific as we go along, but I have the feeling that there are things contained within the bidding document itself, Exhibit A, which don't, in my opinion, journalism approach itself.
Well,
I don't really understand the question that's been worded.
I have a little difficulty answering it. I guess in light of the actual services being provided under the contract, that the new legislative council might want to
review and revise the contract.
Of course, that's possible, but since I don't know specifically.
Maybe I should defer this because I do not know either the gentleman or Mr. Rourke, Mr. Harmon will be here to end of the testimony by the representative of the staff. I would defer to that kind of thing. Okay. Last question I have for you. Did the council look at the broadcast to see if they would sponsor the TV coverage down there in the legislature of them all?
The examination by the Legislative Council of what the programming possibilities were by private broadcasting, I think, was very small. There was, in fact, no formal consideration of that. They establish a request for proposals and reviewed the proposals that came in under that, which there were numerous very good proposals.
Is there any further questions? Representative Fleming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is, and you don't have to answer this question, it's purely personal. Do you feel that the commercial broadcast gives adequate coverage of the legislature?
Mr. Chairman. I think that it's possible that it could be developed in that. I mentioned some things I thought that could make that possible. Right now, and just based on the information I have, I would say probably not. That's my own personal opinion.
Thank you.
Representative Lindahl? Yes, I'd like to address the question to Representative Malone. Representative Malone, we're spending many hundreds of thousands of dollars on this contract in pursuit of a principle that you put out in terms of getting information on the legislature to the public, and you're advocating that. Who is receiving this information at the present time? Who do you know that is actually getting this information? We're putting out either gavel-to-gavel coverage, and who is getting the 30-minute show or whatever it is?
Mr. Chairman?
Before, who's saying it?
I assume that you're not talking about individual people that are
talking about a community.
And the only thing I can say is so far I think I've had an opportunity to review the two different editions of the 30-minute program myself. But beyond that, the programming is available to the Anchorage area in the south central part of the state. The times that are chosen aren't necessarily what I think is the best, but.
Mr. Chairman, may I follow up on you? And it is, you believe a 30-minute segment is shown in Anchorage?
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that is my understanding.
What other communities would it be?
I have not reviewed the showing of the program in the different committees of the state. So I can't answer that beyond that.
I happen to observe, as we all have, the press room, which seems to be very crowded. There were even newspaper stories about how many different groups are covering the legislature. Newspapers seem to be Associated Press, it seems to be public radio, it seems to be cuts going into commercial television. Most of the communities apparently have opted not to carry these programs, if I understand the situation, so that we are funding something that no one is looking at. are being picked up by the radio station. I know my radio station's not picking up tests. I didn't even know they were available. You have a money dump here, apparently, which is providing some programming for Juno, as far as I can tell. Is that, if that was to be the case, would you still be in favor of continuing this funding?
Mr. Chairman, television program has cost a part of the television program for Capital City to be like bringing coal to Newcastle. I think that's real clear.
Any further questions? Thank you, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next to testify this afternoon, this morning, is Representative Mike Miller of Juneau.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm Representative Mike Miller from Juneau, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify this morning on this very important issue. Mr. Chairman, I think we've got two questions before us that have at least been raised by the resolution in question. Number one, is the contract that was entered into and is the coverage that's now being offered legal? And the second question is, if so, is it a good idea? I think, Mr. Chairman, emphatically, the answer to both questions is yes. There's no question, absolutely no question in my mind, and I don't think there's a question even in very many people's minds on the other side of the issue about the legality of that contract. The Attorney General, who is an objective observer of the legislature, as opposed to our own legislative people, although they are very objective too, and I've never had any reason to ever question their research in these matters. Both the Attorney General attorneys and the Legislative Affairs Agency have said that that contract is a perfectly legal contract. Some precedents were given by the representative from Anchorage relative to some court cases in which the legislature could not delegate authority, but clearly, Mr. Chairman, this was in reference to other committees, not to the Legislative Council, which is absolutely recognized in the Constitution of the State of Alaska as the interim arm of the legislature. And those precedents have no bearing upon this question here. Very clearly, that contract is legal. And indeed, I think the resolution that was offered before you even recognizes the legality of the question, because in
disallowing the contract, it quotes the very legal contract that was signed and takes the escape clause from the contract itself as the way to get out of it. So I don't think there's any question about it at all. The more pertinent question for the people of Alaska, of course, is this a good idea? And emphatically, again, I say, since 1977, I believe, I think it's been a good idea. It was a good idea then. It's a good idea now. The people of Alaska, through this program, have the opportunity to know what's going on in their legislature. Over the years, Representative Malone happened to mention, I don't think we're going to get, you know, a top rating. We're never going to be up there with Charlie's Angels. We're not going to be up there with the Hill Street Blues. But the fact that the program is available, the fact that people can turn it on when they're interested in a particular issue, the fact that the coverage of the at least the main issues of the legislature are capsuled into a half-hour format every day, and of course we do have the gavel-to-gavel that I'll refer to in a few minutes as an opportunity more for the future than at the present moment, is something that over the years has, I think, been very, very significant and very successful. Representative Linda, I'm going to go ask who is watching. It had not occurred to me to ask the Public Broadcast Commission who was carrying the broadcast this year, but if all of the past years since 1977 are any indication, the stations, the communities that have access to and are carrying this the 30-minute capsule include probably 95% of the state. All of the rural stations are being covered on this. Anchorage, the public service station, the public broadcast station in Anchorage carries it, so the people you can watch there. Again, I always wish that they would have a little bit more convenient time, but that's a local scheduling decision. Fairbanks in the past has always carried Capital 83, as is this year and in other years by other year designators. Sitka has carried it. Ketchikan has carried it. I don't know of any major community that has not carried it in the past, and I presume they're carrying it right now, which brings firsthand, immediate, timely, daily visual knowledge of the legislature to probably, you know, 97-98% of the people of Alaska. And I think that's very valuable. If at any given night all of those people don't choose to take advantage of it, that's their prerogative. But the opportunity is there, and I think we as legislators who want people to know what's going on in the legislature have an obligation to make sure that opportunity is there. The question has been asked, you know, can private stations fill the gap? They have in the past. Perhaps they will in the future. And if they do, I say power to them. But right now, we don't have any indication that if we shut off the switch that's currently on, we don't have any indication that you're going to have more than just a very few minutes of coverage every night on an otherwise half-hour program, perhaps, that one of the stations is carrying, in which a few minutes of legislative coverage as part of the, you know, total news coverage of the state is included. If you turn off the switch, an awful lot of people in the state of Alaska, and I mean the overwhelming huge majority of the people in the state of Alaska, are not going to have a visual opportunity to see what's going on in their legislature. Sure enough, if they want to work at it, they can turn on their radio. They can, you know, dig through the newspapers if they want to. We've got, fortunately, a variety of media available to us. But America's favorite viewing or news media, television, will be denied to most of the people of Alaska if you turn off the switch. And so let's just be real clear what this resolution is. A vote yes on this resolution is a vote to turn off the switch, allowing most of the people of Alaska to see what's going on in the legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Representative Martin, President.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think we had to clarify a couple points, especially since the distinguished gentleman from Juneau is so overly optimistic about this show. I'm afraid I don't share your experience with the large majority that is watching this show. Otherwise, we would be paid outstandingly, like the soapbox office. In third place, I do believe very strongly that this move is illegal, as motions in the past have been illegal by Legislative Council and Budget and Audit Committee. And this is my real fundamental purpose, is that this legislative body should not continue the mistakes of the past, either by remaining silent or by inaction. And I feel that now we have a chance to say how this body from the very beginning will we delegate our authority, as I see simply as the layperson sees the Constitution, that only the full legislative body has the right. Now, because of the resolution, Mr. Chairman, as it is now, by talking to legal counsel, they mentioned that you only have really one option. That to zero in on the contract itself, whether you consider it legal or not, you do have an option in clause 10 to terminate it and let the new legislative council or legislative body decide. And I think there's a point of reason here, sir. If we want to maintain our powers, then we can, at a certain time, even delay decision on this bill until a new council or a new group decide what coverage we do want, terminate the one and immediately implement the other. I would go for something like that. That, to me, would fulfill the constitutional requirement of the full legislative body. But I want to make it very clear, sir, that the resolution as it is now does not mean that I feel the contract is legal.
Representative Martin, would you just direct your questions directly at the Mr. Miller, you had your chance to testify earlier. Representative Pessinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Miller, the legality question, although very important to many of us, is not as important to me as whether we're simply paying too much money. you pointed out that we're producing a very good product, but like if it's on the shelf, not everybody's buying the product. So shouldn't we produce less of the product? So I'm asking you, what is your concern that we utilize Clause 10, we rescind the contract, and we renegotiate it at a price that reflects the actual use of the product, and that we do that in this session?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative, you get what you pay for. And if you'd like to negotiate a cheap product, we can put on a cheap show.
No, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I've got Representative Grusendorf in the ward.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Miller, I'm kind of concerned in relation to this resolution that the discussion seems to be based upon the constitutionality of the Legislative Council to strike such a contract, but yet at the same time, the bulk of our conversation on this matter seems to be with the quality or the quantity of coverage. And I would like to know, probably drawing off from what we should be talking about here, we've been mentioning commercial broadcasting stations and TV stations, what would be necessary to encourage the commercial people to be interested in carrying such a contract? For example, right now in the state of Alaska, we have the Legislative Information Office, which probably is one of the best disseminators of information for this state. And sometimes I feel that it would be necessary for public broadcasting to do this, but what would be there to encourage commercial to do this? What can you see?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grusendorf, I'm not sure. What you're talking about is a very admirable goal, and I think probably we should start exploring it. And as soon as we can relieve the public sector of that cost burden, great, fine. But I think that we have the time to explore that opportunity right now and get something in place right now so that this session of the legislature can be adequately covered. Perhaps it would be a very good project for the Finance Committee or a subcommittee of it or some other committee to explore those possibilities. But the fact situation is the passage of this resolution is going to do nothing but just turn off the switch. It won't generate what your goal is. I think that's going to probably take quite a while. Incidentally, whenever we're talking, though, about the commercial stations, the private sector, is that in this state, the private sector is being heavily, heavily subsidized. It's not always an entirely private operation. The private sector is being very heavily subsidized through the satellite programs of the state, so we should not always take a very jaundiced look at public stations and say they're subsidized when, in fact, every broadcast that goes out in the airwaves in this state is a subsidized operation, but that's just an aside.
Yeah, Representative Miller, I guess I should get back to the point here. This resolution that's before us right now, in your mind here, the main intent here simply is to disagree with the way in which the contract was drawn up, not necessarily in relation to the quantity or quality of the execution of the existing contract now. Is that the way you see this resolution?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just see the resolution as a device to turn off the switch, which is a perfectly legal thing for somebody to do. I would like the broadcast to continue. I would like to have the overwhelming majority of the people of Alaska to continue to have the opportunity, whether they want to take advantage of the opportunity every night or not, to see what the legislature that they're also paying for is doing.
Representative Ward and Representative Lindo.
Representative Miller, I think I need to understand a little bit better here. As I understand it, this service or some similar service has been supplied since 1977, where the state of Alaska has picked up for coverage of the legislative functions, and I have to admit that I've been very concerned in how our state runs, but I myself have never viewed such a thing, and have never been, in fact, if it came on, I probably switched the channel, so I'm probably part of that 98.3% that does not watch this particular gavel to gavel or even the 30-minute one. But I, in fact, am one of the people that watch the news broadcast at 6:30 and 3 minutes. And I presume now, in your feeling, what we're basically talking about here is the 30-minute spot that is composed, in your impression, is this the bulk of the intent thrust of this contract is to get this 30-minute peak of unbiased journalism out to the public per day?
Mr. Chairman, there were two elements this year for the first time to the contract. We've never had
product that's been useful over the years. But there are two elements. There's a 30-minute program, which constitutes really the bulk of the effort right now. There's also the gavel-to-gavel, which at this time is probably should be viewed as an experiment. I think it's sort of an exciting experiment. I think once we get this issue before you resolved, so that the people who are in charge, for instance, of Learn Alaska, will know whether or not this animal is even going to continue to have breath of life. Once that is resolved, I think the gavel may very well be offered on Learn Alaska or other options, perhaps on a delayed basis. But we're not going to know for a while. I think it's well worth the money we're spending this year to try the gavel-to-gavel thing and see if anybody out there is listening. If at the end of the year we find out, or even sooner if we really find out it's a just a dog, we can probably negotiate with the contractors to drop that option. I think it's well worth experimenting, and I think it's a good effort. I, for instance, have from time to time, certainly not on a regular basis, but from time to time, I've enjoyed looking at C-SPAN on my home video. And that's, of course, Washington, D.C., even further away, that sort of thing. But the gavel-to-gavel should probably be looked at as an experiment. If it doesn't work this year, then I think we just ought to forget about it and go back to the tried-and-true 30-minute program, which has worked, which is working, which has been proven over the years as a very successful opportunity for the people to see what their legislature is doing. And the important thing to remember about this contract is that if you pass, this resolution, if you pass this resolution, you're killing both programs. It's dead. The people have nothing to look at but a blank screen as far as legislative depth is concerned. I'm delighted that we have some of the private stations down here offering a few minutes of legislative coverage on their otherwise statewide broadcast every day. I think that's wonderful, and I think we ought to encourage it. I'd like to see more private stations offering a few minutes of legislative coverage every day. But for people who want to have a little bit better and more thorough knowledge of the legislative process, the half-hour format, which incidentally is not unique to Alaska, it's a sort of thing that's done in more and more states all over the country. I attended a conference on that some couple years back, and we've got to continue that if we want the people to have the opportunity to really know what's going on.
Continue.
As I understand it, and I could be wrong, but in the other states, as you're referring to, they just have an in-place camera, like a court system. They do not have an editorial process. It's more of a production thing where they're just filming, and it's just stored in the libraries and becomes part of the official record. What this is at least in the state I saw in Arizona, it was that way. And that's the only other state that I've seen. But now here we're in a different situation. I'm just wondering what is your impression now? I draw your attention to where we are right now in the world we're sitting in the finance room. This camera is running because of, for whatever reason, the gentleman over here is a commercial camera person from a commercial. He just shut his off after he took a picture of this camera. So apparently he feels that he has enough footage to relay to the citizens of Alaska on a commercial basis of the intent of what's going on here. But yet we are subsidizing for 1.7% of the population, maybe this amount of money, the ones that actually watch it, trying to build up a constituency for this. Is that what I understand what we're doing? Or am I wrong?
Mr. Chairman, respectfully, I think you're wrong on a couple of issues. Relative to the other states' coverage, there's a wide variety of types of coverage. Some have the in-place camera that you mentioned. Others have more elaborate production than even we have. Some are 15 minutes, some are half an hour, some are an hour. There's a wide variety of opportunities in the other states, and you know, some of them are crummy, some of them are terrific. But that's again, that's just sort of an aside too. Would you restate the other question now?
The other question is the commercial man over here shut his camera off. He had enough to catch the flavor and intent of what we're doing here. This gentleman, which we are paying to benefit somebody out there, which I never was a part of, and I don't apologize for it. I just apparently didn't want to sit and be bored. I don't know. But he is running right now, and we are subsidizing that for somebody in the state of Alaska. Now, if I consider myself a ordinary citizen that was very concerned with the political process, and I didn't even know this service was available, or if I did know, I quickly turned it to whatever, the regular news, then why should we spend some almost $300,000, which ironically is the same amount as they need for hepatitis B, but why should we be placing this kind of money in for that elite, whoever they are out there, when I think the relevancy of this situation right now, I want to have your reflection. The commercial people just say, I have enough to tell the public what we're doing here for right now, this news item and such.
One of the reasons that the commercial station perhaps they're only going to broadcast about a minute and a half or 2 minutes of the entire legislative day, which I don't think is adequate. I think it's woefully inadequate for us to offer to the people of Alaska. I think the people who want to know more than a minute and a half's worth of knowledge about the state of Alaska and its legislature should have the opportunity to see more than a minute and a half. If you're only going to have a minute and a half of television coverage available through the commercial station, obviously he can only show about 15 seconds of this. You'll show another 15 seconds on the floor. If somebody gets terribly dramatic during special orders today or something like that, maybe they'll show 30 seconds there. But that's not delivering to the people of Alaska and giving them the opportunity to know what's going on in their legislature. Several times you quoted a figure of a percent and a half or something like that. I don't know where those figures come from, but and I don't have polls of my own, but I know that more than a percent and a half of the people of Alaska have watched over the years Capital 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, and 82, and I know that more than that, those numbers are watching Capital 83 this year. Just from personal expressions, as I've traveled all over the state of Alaska, I just know that a huge number of people watch that program. If you didn't happen to be one of them, you know, that's your viewer choice. And that's great. You know, there's some programs that I watch and others that I don't watch, and each of us has that choice. But I think it's really important for we as legislators to put before the people of Alaska the opportunity to watch what's going on. The opportunity is there, and if the people then choose on any given night not to watch it, if they want to switch over and watch something else, fine, that's great. You know, if they want to go down to the bakery and watch some bread, right, that's their choice. But the opportunity is there, and we have an obligation as legislators to provide that opportunity. And I don't think $300,000 is too much to spend for this service. And I would hope that this committee or this legislature would never negate something as important as an appropriation for hepatitis B, you know, to make a choice between these two things. I think there's certainly, we don't have to choose between those two priority items. If this legislature doesn't provide money for both of those functions, I'm going to be sadly disappointed in the quality of all of us.
The figures that I got are something that I received from Channel 7 as population overview up in Anchorage. So that's the basis of what I was going by. I don't know how accurate those are, and I'm not even, I got those verbally over the phone at that. And the choice that you're talking about, I'm certain that we don't have to come to that choice between selecting which priorities, although all priorities need to be mingled together. I have no say what this is going to be. This was already done before I took office. So this is something, right now the piece of paper says that I have an opportunity to at least discuss the process itself. What I'd like to pose to you is this question, that if you, right now the major thrust of it, which the gavel to gavel, you yourself and your interpretation have realized that there's a possibility this may be not the best format at present time, but in the future it may be, as time progresses, and I don't want to use the word constituency base grows, but I still have that feeling that it's there. But anyway, the 30-minute segment is right now what we're basically talking about is the most viewed and utilized forum that we're getting out of this entire contract right now. What would be your interpretation of this contract if, in fact, you as a representative of your district decided that you thought that the slant of the editorial and the editing was not of a professional standard and was not in the best interest of fair play for the citizens of the state of Alaska, would you step forward to renegotiate or undo this contract? Because we do have an editorial situation here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're dealing with individuals that we saw in all last year. Basically, it was a slightly different format was used last year, but the same individuals. And I, one of the reasons I had no problem on this particular contract, the individuals that were in charge of the Royal Carmen Company delivered a pretty professional product last year, and that their editorial professionalism was more than adequate. So it's sort of a non-question. I don't anticipate having to face that problem, because I, as a legislator from last year, I've got a year's experience seeing, you know, how they conduct themselves, and as far as I know, you know, all the shows that I saw that they produced, they conduct themselves very well.
Although, incidentally, this is one of
the reasons why some of the members did like the gavel-to-gavel approach, because it takes all of the editorial choices out, and you just saw it, you know, just as it is. And so
there is no editorial comment, there is no editorial
editing, there is no editorial anything. It's just stark floor action or committee action, whatever happens to be covered. So that's why some of the members did like the gavel to gavel, and why I continue to see gavel to gavel as a very interesting and I think worthwhile
experiment.
But as far as you know, what we do later, if the present operators of the contract suddenly
reversed their nature and became very
unprofessional and started abrogating their responsibilities, I suppose I'd be as open to anybody else seeing what we could do. But I don't anticipate there's even being a problem, because they've got a year under their belt, and they certainly didn't distinguish themselves in an unprofessional way last year. I feel they'll continue to distinguish themselves in a very professional way this year.
Of course, Representative, that's of course entirely up to interpretation as to what professional standards are.
Sure, sure. Some people don't like the New York Times, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you done, Representative Ward?
Yes.
Representative Lindauer, then Representative Flood.
I have a very short question, Chairman. It appears that thrust of your argument is that for some reason the private sector won't or can't provide adequate coverage, and it is necessary to allow the people of Alaska to have a full knowledge of what's going on in the legislature. In your district, certainly you're about to labor the people, can you give me one example of an item carried on this television show, state expense, that was not available to the people of your district through the private media? One item.
I'm a little bit confused by your question. In a half hour, there were, you know, literally dozens. I guess I'd have to look at a log to give you the specific answers. But in a half hour program, as opposed to a minute and a half that the commercial stations would, for instance, broadcast up to your district, there has to be dozens of items that are covered that weren't otherwise covered, or if they were covered, in very small, minute detail. In a half hour, you just have so much more opportunity. You can really tell somebody,
what's going on.
Interviews with legislators can be considerably more in depth than the private sector in their few seconds of coverage. Committee hearings can be covered in much better detail. Just the length of the talks on the floor can be longer, which gives people a better idea of what's being said. I don't know. I guess we'd have to look at the logs to get the specific details, but there's no question in my mind that the half hour broadcast
is a lot more items
than the private sector, is in any position to photograph and to transmit.
Mr. Chairman, continue. I would venture to say that the private sector has provided multiple coverage of all the significant legislative events since the legislature began. That I think you would be very hard-pressed to find something that wasn't covered by the Associated Press, that wasn't covered by the newspapers, that wasn't covered by commercial television, commercial radio, and public radio.
Well, I thought you were referring only to the other TV.
I'm referring to getting information to the public, informing them as to what's going on. If you're worried about shutting off information from the legislature, I believe you will have a great deal of trouble finding an example to bring to us. We have contributed any additional knowledge to the public that they did not already have from a variety and multiplicity of sources. I'd be very interested. I could be persuaded to vote on your side of this issue. And you could show me that they were getting something that they otherwise weren't getting.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, some people read newspapers and never look at television. Some people view television, never pick up a newspaper. Some people listen to the radio from the moment they get up in the morning until they, turn off the switch at night. In this day and age, there's a variety of media available, and I think it's unfortunate, but television is probably the most used, and people probably get most of their information from the media. I think the print journalism does a marvelous job in this state, and for the person who wants to make a project out of it and dig, you could probably find out everything you need. As a matter of fact, if you want to, you could probably arrange to have the journal sent to your home every day. So it's not a matter of the person who wants to dig not being able to get the information, but the fact situation is that television is a very popular, entertaining, persuasive, well-liked media, and the people like to get their news that way.
Continue.
I wish to disagree with you. I think that all the studies that have been done show that the television is not the primary source of news. It's the primary source of entertainment. Newspapers and radio, contrary to your expectation, are the primary source of news to the public. Television is the primary source of escape entertainment. if you wish to get the source of information to the people, we should be having a legislative newspaper to compete and mail out copies for you. That's all I have.
Yeah. Incidentally, most people in the bush, incidentally, don't get the newspaper coverage, and they certainly don't get it on the daily basis that you and I enjoy in these communities. There are literally dozens of bush communities that rely on the very television coverage we're talking about for as their primary, daily, up-to-the-moment source of information about the legislature.
Representative Flood?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to state first that I don't think it's Roark and Harmon's professionalism that we're discussing here today or an issue that we should be discussing. The question is the resolution at hand. Now, you say if this resolution is voted in favor of, that it's just a move to turn off the switch. Are you saying then that commercial broadcast is not capable of giving adequate coverage?
Mr. Chairman, they may be capable, but in the past they have not. I'm delighted that, we're now having more and more people here every year.
It's getting better.
It'll be adequate. But at the present time, if we pass this resolution and disallow the contract, the viewing opportunity for the people to know what's going on in the state in the legislature will be reduced by factor of 97%, because the coverage that the private sector offers at the present time is this coverage. I'm not private sector. As I say, they're doing better all the time, and I think it's just great that we have year-round coverage. This is
the first time I can remember
that we've got two stations down here providing constant coverage we used to have. So I think that's wonderful. But it still doesn't even come close to offering the total coverage that's being offered through this contract.
Thank you. Last question of Representative Miller, Representative Hilberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the interest of shortening the legislative process, how long do you think this committee meeting would last?
Mr. Chairman, approximately the same length of time.
Thank you, Representative, for your testimony today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next one to testify today is Jeff Day, representing the Speaker.
I'm staff assistant to Speaker Hayes. Also, just to lay out some background as to some personal qualifications to speak on this issue, I have a college degree in broadcast journalism, which is my chosen field, and I'm current president of the Alaska Press Club. I have a lot of contacts with those in this field, and I know a lot of their feelings, and I'll be speaking just briefly on that later. You've given me a hard act to follow. I have a lot of respect for Representative Miller as an effective debater on the issue. However, I disagree with just about everything he had to say. I wish to address probably two different areas as you consider the resolution. One is the philosophical discussion we've been having today. And two, I'd like to briefly touch on some of the legal issues that have been raised. I don't wish to go into great detail because it is the subject of litigation. It is the Speaker's intention that it continue to be the subject of litigation. I expect action in that arena sometime this week. But basically, to fill in some of the information, the funding for the TV coverage of the legislature did begin in 1977. It was funded through last year in a number of different ways, through line items in the budget, first through the Office of the Governor, then through the Public Broadcasting Commission via Department of Administration, and in the last couple of years through Department of Education via Division of Libraries and Museums. In last year's budget, the FY83 budget that was discussed in this room, that was passed by the House and the Senate, there was no line item anywhere in that budget for legislative TV coverage. It is our contention then that the legislature made its intent clearly known for the first time,
not to include funding,
and by not including funding, did not wish the current practice of funding television coverage of the legislature to continue. The cost of such coverage in the past has ranged anywhere between, I believe, about $62,000. Last year it reached a high of $145,000. This year the contract, through 90 days, is $268,601. Quite a difference from last year's coverage. We would contend there's a lot better use for that money, but also the fact the money was appropriated under session expenses, which are traditionally reserved for the payment of staff, the payment of services, which are traditionally used for the day-to-day operating expenses of the legislature. Never before has TV coverage been considered a session expense. On a personal note, I guess I would also think it's interesting to note that a number of my colleagues in the journalism field, some of whom are in this room today, feel that it's an imposition and political interference the way that it's been funded. We have the legislators, which the press covers. It is the legislators that are paying these people's salaries. As a press person in the past myself, I would have some hesitancy to be involved in such a relationship. I don't like the idea of the people I'm covering paying my salary, and as a journalism ethics, I don't like that particular relationship. That's up to the people that are the contractees, I guess, or the contractors to decide for themselves. A couple points I wish to make, although one has not been raised today. There have been claims by some legislators during this whole process that Representative Hayes wants to shut off the cameras because he doesn't want the people of Alaska to see what's happening in the legislature. That is nothing but unsupported rhetoric. He supports an aggressive press corps. He has never refused an interview. He has never turned a reporter away from his door. He has never tried to keep anybody off the floor. Should that claim ever come up, there is no support to it. Representative Hayes has also maintained that the private sector is now more capable than they were in 1977 of covering the legislature. The representative from Juneau just stated he does not believe the private sector is capable at this time. We would disagree. There are two stations based in Anchorage, both that have statewide newscasts. Both of these newscasts are carried on the Rural Alaska Television Network, one at 5:30 p.m., the other at 6:30 p.m. Alaska Standard Time. I know that one is shown here that relates to 7:30 p.m. in Juneau. And I believe the one that Mr. Scott, who is here, is associated with, as soon as, I don't know if the station is back on the air yet since it's undergoing some reconstruction, but the Alaska Statewide News via his network will also be shown in Juneau. They are shown, as I said, on RatNet. They are shown around the state by satellite. So everybody who has access to the subsidized television coverage will also have access to the daily newscast, which I do believe in my journalism profession background do a good job of covering the legislature and present an accurate and fair portrayal of what is happening in the legislature. I don't believe anybody's constituents are left out by that private sector coverage. Lastly, on a philosophical basis, the Roark Harmon Group and the Legislative Council has made a big deal over this gavel-to-gavel coverage. Again, as a journalist, and I believe the gavel-to-gavel coverage is the way to go in the future. It is the only way you can remove whatever influences by the reporters. It takes those influences out of that arena. The state is not ready for gavel-to-gavel coverage. Anchorage is not cabled. It will be in 2 years. At that time, I think gavel-to-gavel should be considered. I would hope that the state's involvement in that would be very little more than assisting in payment of satellite time. The burden at that time should be on the cable companies to provide the mechanics and transmission, the people, the camera work, to get that out to the public. The gavel-to-gavel coverage is seen in Juneau. The people in Juneau could come to the Capitol if they wanted to see the coverage. On the legal matters, there are a number of questions, and I think that is the basis of what this resolution is getting. The philosophical questions go on year after year. The legal questions arose for the first year this time. I'm not going to go into all the points that the speaker has raised in the lawsuit. Basically, the issue is, did the council have the authority to award the contract, and were public funds available for the award of such a contract? The legislature's legal counsel, Mr. Barrier, says that yes to both those questions.
staff counsel and private counsel hired by the speaker disagree, and those issues will be resolved in court. As I said, up until last year, there'd always been a line item somewhere in the budget for the funding. For the first time in the fiscal year 83 budget, there was no line item in any category that referred to TV coverage of the legislature. This fall, the council, which was a lame duck council as referred to earlier, decided that it wanted TV coverage. Permanent Interim Committee, is composed by a minority of the legislature, 14 members.
Since there was insufficient money given to the council in the council's specific budget, a decision was made to use the session expenses funds, which were $5.245 million set aside, to use a portion of that, the $268,000, to fund the TV contract. Okay, again, these session expenses are those traditionally considered to pay for the day-to-day operating costs of the legislature. The day-to-day costs of the legislature, by the way, including this TV contract, now are estimated at $55,000 per day. There was never any consideration given last year in the preparation of the legislative affairs budget or the legislative council's budget that any funds they requested or that were given to them would be used for television coverage. In a line item review of the legislative affairs budget request, nowhere does it state any money would be used for TV coverage. So the heart of the legal suit again is whether the use of such funds and the council's action in using such funds was legal. The Constitution in Article 9, Section 13 clearly spells out the appropriation power that the legislature is to appropriate, that appropriations will be mentioned by line item in appropriations bills, and only those things that are appropriated for may be funded by the legislature as a whole. It is believed that the council thwarted the will of the majority, it overextended its power by specifically appropriating funds for a contract that was clearly not intended to be funded by the legislature. The legislature, as I said, included no funds in the budget. The request by the Legislative Affairs Agency included no funding. The request by Legislative Council, which oversees and prepares the legislature's budget, contained no such funding request for TV coverage. On a couple issues that are of public knowledge, the court did state in its ruling, which denied our request for a temporary restraining order, that Representative Hayes had raised some serious and substantial questions regarding the awarding of this contract. And the judge also said at that time that it was a close call at that time on his review of the facts whether the council acted legally or not. We will be presenting further evidence to court in the near future, and those questions will be answered. Again, in the contract and those that brought the lawsuit, what they're seeing or what they claim to be saying is the attempt by a minority, the 14 members of the council, or actually I think the 11 who were present when the contract was voted for, they're seeing an attempt by a minority to thwart the will of the majority being last year's legislature, the legislature expressing its intent not to include funding for such TV coverage. I would also suggest that if and when this resolution is to pass from the committee, it include a discussion of some of these policy statements as to why you're seeking the cancellation of the contract. I think there are very important questions raised. I do not believe the contract is clearly legal, otherwise the speaker would never have raised the questions he's raised. And the issues, as I said, will be decided eventually in court, and hopefully will lead to a better delineation, not only of the specific question, but exactly just what are the powers of the Legislative Council as it regards its ability to appropriate, to transfer appropriations, and to contract. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
So any questions from the committee? Representative Duncan.
Just one. You stated that the legal fight is continuing. Could you tell me where the money is coming from to continue that legal fight?
It's my understanding the money would be coming from the leadership funds allocated to the speaker.
Do you know, was there a line item appropriation in last year's budget for this legal battle in the Speaker's account?
No, there was not.
You stated that there was no line item appropriation for the TV coverage, therefore it was illegal. Perhaps it's illegal for the Speaker to continue the legal battle since there's no line item appropriation. Do you have a response to that?
Only a response of a, I guess, a philosophical nature. Of course, the leadership funds used to be controlled by legislative council. They're now divided between the House and the Senate leadership. They're used for all the staff salaries contractual. They are not specified. On a philosophical note, there have been questions raised about the Speaker using those funds to fight the contract. I would submit that it seems appropriate that maybe a small portion, $10,000 or whatever it takes to fight the legal battle, seems appropriate in light of saving $268,000 of a questionably legal contract, if indeed the case is.
But I question whether, of course, if you're going to use the argument in one case that there was no appropriation for TV coverage and it's not legal, then I think the same argument should apply to the use of the Speaker's funds. But I also wonder why the Speaker would pursue a legal battle when he has recourse through the legislature at this time. Continue to use public funds in court when his real recourse is through the legislative process. And if the legislature as a body determines to cancel the contract, they can.
The legal suit goes far more than just questioning the television contract. It goes to the heart of the ability of the legislative council and their powers, and certainly there have been many questions raised in the past about the contracting powers and abilities of the council. It was our hope by going to court that we could stop the spending of some money. $88,000 was dispersed last week, $18,000 was given in startup costs already, $107,000 have been spent. The court at that time was the Speaker's remedy to try and prevent the money from being spent on what he and a number of other legislators considered a questionably legal contract, and that's why the court action was taken.
Further questions? Representative Duncan?
No, thanks.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Day. Next one to testify this morning is Mert Charney with the Legislative Affairs. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mert Charney, Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. As your employee, I'm not here as an advocate of one way or the other. I strictly carry out the instructions of the legislature. I am here today, however, to defend any actions that I might have taken in conjunction with subject contract. The legislative council, by motion after much deliberation and many meetings, took a vote on this on the proposals that were submitted and voted to accept this contract, and I was instructed to execute and to administer the contract, which I did. I take the orders from the legislative council and the legislature. If the legislature wishes to pass this resolution and adopts this resolution, I, of course, will take the instructions that the legislature has given me to cancel the contract and to negotiate the on behalf of the state settlement of that contract. If we're unable to negotiate, I assume that that will also end in a lawsuit or with an arbitrator or something to decide the fair cost that is accrued to the contractor. At every step during the way that I executed this contract or prepared the contract, executed the contract, administered the contract, I've consulted with legal counsel. And I've been advised all throughout my actions that I have acted in a proper and legal way, and I made sure that I was acting in a proper and legal way before I took each of those steps. So my point here today is to defend the actions that I have taken in conjunction with administering and executing this contract. Questions from the committee, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I realize, Mr. Charney, that you're kind of between a rock and a hard place many, many times, but on this particular case, some of the things I'm surprised about is that just as a general legislator, I went to the December 22nd hearing, and I thought that the understanding was that
we will have a little time to solve this problem as a new legislative body. And then suddenly when we come down here, we find out that thing, from my understanding of what the hearing was all about, is that this so-called grace period was circumvented by actual contractual statement and indeed deeds. For instance, the 10% clause that would allow a safety valve to the legislators so that we're only expending so much money instead of the original case of $150,000 to be expended, which a lot of us disagree with for any contract as startup cost and so on. And then we found out that, yes, you seem to have obeyed the wishes that not too much upfront money be given to the winning bidder, but then a few days later, here comes the bulk of it all. And then also, we certainly didn't have an opportunity to review the contract as I thought was agreed upon, at least for the speaker, and I'm speaking on his, I'm guessing what I thought was agreed to, that he would have the opportunity to review that contract before it was implemented. And so finally, I feel that the speaker found himself in a very bad situation where he had no opportunity but to take it to court. And that's just bad, but that, and he's being painted as a bad old man. But he does have a constitutional responsibility, too, of defending the rights of the whole legislature. So in this concern, I was wondering, it just seems to me deliberate efforts to put him in a position, not him as an individual, but put that seat in a position to protect the Constitution and the powers of the whole legislative body. I'm wondering why the $88,000 were put in there that negates any rights we have.
Chairman, Representative Martin, there was no forethought of any kind of putting anybody in a particular position on this contract. The consul, as you noted, did take specific action to add a clause to the contract prior to approval, limiting the mobilization cost to 10%. I negotiated with the contractor, I think the day after the meeting was held, and the contractor came in my office. We negotiated a full payment schedule. I was able to negotiate down the mobilization payment to approximately 7%. He was able to show me that he had a lot of upfront cost. The basis of his proposal did not include any financing costs, and as typically previous contractors had not, because they had no anticipation that they would not receive money up front. It's always been the custom ever since 1977 for the contractor to obtain a lot of money up front. So he had no reason to believe this contract would be any different when he submitted his proposal, and I know for a fact that there was no financing cost in his proposal, no interest expense that he would be expected to go out to bank and borrow money, pay interest expense, and then, because otherwise he would have included that as an item in his proposal. So he was able to show me that he needed this upfront money in order to have the money, in order to pay his salary, to set up his operation, to lease the quarters that he's operating out of, all the other expenses that he has to go. And I held back on the initial mobilization cost from what he was expecting because I wanted to make sure he was going to get on the air. And so I limited that to 7%, and I held fast to that, and he finally agreed to that. And then the following week or 2 weeks, whenever the next payment became due last week, it was my intent not to make that payment at all if he wasn't on the air. But he had already shown that he was on the air. He'd been on the air for 2 days. In fact, he got paid on the third day that he was on the air. And so that he had full intent of complying with the contract. He had made it on the time deadline, knowing that it was a very short period of time. And so then I authorized that payment as agreed to previously. But I can tell you, the members of the committee, that if he wouldn't have been on the air last week on the first day of the session, whether I had agreed to that payment, we would have had some discussion and some changes in that. But he did go on the air, and he made the time deadline, and he was on the air. And so I thought that payment, which we had negotiated previously, was a payment that could be made.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two or three short questions, if you don't mind. And
forgive me, I'm a new kid on the block. Are you responsible for the preparation and submission to the legislature of the budget request for the Legislative Affairs Agency?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Flood, I prepare the budget. I prepare a draft budget. Let me go back. Historically, we have prepared a draft budget for the Legislative Council. The Council approves or disapproves or amends the budget, the formal budget submission that I eventually prepare and transmit to the Finance Committees. By law, the legislative budget must be transmitted from the Legislative Council, not from the Legislative Affairs Agency. It has to be transmitted from the Council, and the Council has always taken final action, I think, except for 1 year. And it's probably well publicized that we went around the basis of the chairman of the Council that year. But I think all other years, the Council, by formal vote, has authorized and approved the budget that was submitted to the Finance Committee.
Another question. Do you prepare and submit the request for the agency for your 83 fiscal budget?
Yes, it was prepared at my direction.
Pardon. Now, isn't it true that the legislature did not add any funds for this TV contract, and in fact, there's no mention anywhere in the budget of funds for this purpose?
Absolutely.
Representative Flett, do you have any questions?
Just one. In your view, what are the limits of the constitutional powers of the Legislative Council?
Pardon, Mr. Chairman, the limitations? When the legislature is not in session, I see the Council acting on behalf of the Council in any constitutional or provision provided by law. Any illegal action would be void. Any illegal action is authorized by the Council, by the Constitution, or by the laws of the state on behalf of the legislature. I see that they have that power when the legislature is not in session. Excluding, of course, the illegal powers be an appropriation process, coming up with new sources of funds and making an appropriation